As we've been hearing, Russia has well over 1,000 troops now operating inside Ukraine. NATO said yesterday as Moscow faced a backlash over growing evidence of its direct military involvement in the uprising in the east of the country. On the line now, Ambassador Daniel Baer, the US representative to the OSCE, that is the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. Good morning to you, Ambassador Baer.
Good morning, John.
Now, can you give us an update on the situation as you read it on the ground there in Ukraine from reports reaching you?
Well, as the president said yesterday, this is a continuation of what we've seen as a months-long push by President Putin and the Kremlin to cause destruction and destabilization in eastern Ukraine. And the real tragedy here is that there's enough bad things that happen in the world that we can't control. This is a tragedy that is man-made in Moscow and has had tremendous human costs on an enormous number of people.
Some 2,000 people are thought to have died in the conflict between rebel forces and the Ukrainian forces in the last several months. But in the meantime, there seems to be a kind of acceptance that apart from condemnatory action, some sanctions, that Putin is effectively getting away with this.
Well, I think it's very important that Putin doesn't get away with this. I think the United States, along with our European partners and other international partners, has been working over the last several months to make sure that there are costs that are imposed on the Kremlin, on Putin and his cronies, and that there are costs through these sanctions. And obviously, the latest escalation on the part of the Russian Federation invites greater costs.
Of what sort? Of what nature?
Well, we know that the sanctions are working. We know that Russia already had a very undiversified economy. It is not a modern 21st century economy. The Russian people need the Russian government to be taking steps to further integrate with the international system. And obviously, President Putin's choices have limited that. And the Russian ruble was at the weakest point ever this morning, I saw. Capital is fleeing the country. Investors are wisely staying out because it isn't safe to invest there. So we know that these sanctions are having a cost. Obviously, one wants not to have these sanctions. There is another opportunity here. There's an opportunity for Russia to be part of an international community, for the Russian people to benefit from that. But President Putin is denying his people that opportunity.
Is it likely just on the military front, Ambassador Baer, that what's happened now in the last few days, in addition to the support that already has been given to the rebels in eastern Ukraine, that you're going to see the West, perhaps through NATO, supplying Ukraine's own army with more advanced weapons that is going to increase their chances of putting down this rebellion?
Well, I think all along we have been clear that we support the right of Ukraine to defend itself, that we support the territorial integrity and sovereignty of Ukraine, and we, along with many of our European partners, have made repeated statements about that. Obviously, President Obama will be traveling to Europe next week for the NATO summit. He will also be visiting Estonia, where he will have high-level meetings with a very important NATO partner on the eastern side of NATO. And there will obviously be conversations about how to proceed among the leaders when they convene next week.
In the meantime, of course, yesterday the separatists seized the southeastern coastal town of Novorossiysk, if I pronounce it correctly, and they're reported to have surrounded government soldiers in several places. Now, in the meantime, the Kremlin is seeking to create a land corridor, a humanitarian corridor, I think, as President Putin is calling it, to allow those Ukrainian troops out of that encirclement. Is that something that you would favour?
Well, let's remember that the Kremlin has zero credibility on anything that involves the word humanitarian. This is a government that has been Assad's best friend for the last few years. They don't have much credibility when talking about anything humanitarian. We've seen an escalation in the last few days from the Russian side, including evidence of Russian forces operating within Ukraine. We will continue to support the Ukrainian government and the Ukrainian people in their desire to have a free, independent, democratic Ukraine where people enjoy rights that they don't get to enjoy in Russia.
What would you say to the observation by some analysts that what we're seeing is not a full-blown attack, it's more a kind of a stealth offensive by the Kremlin?
Well, I think we've seen all manner of dissembling and prevarication and lying and attempts at covert support, et cetera, over recent months. It's increasingly not at all stealth. It's plain for anyone who is willing to see it to see that Russia is behind the devastation that they have wrought in eastern Ukraine. So I don't think it's stealth at this point. I think it's quite clear that President Putin and the Kremlin are behind the destruction in eastern Ukraine.
Is it, though, part of a goal, is what's been happening a part of a strategy or a goal to thwart any possibility that Ukraine, under its new, more pro-Western leadership, might set out to join NATO? In other words, there's talk of this idea that they would somehow try to freeze the conflict, leaving big chunks of eastern Ukraine in the control of the Russian-backed rebels, perhaps even forcing Kiev to call a ceasefire, leading to negotiations that might go on perhaps even for years. And you would effectively be watching kind of a stalemate.
Well, we've certainly seen different instances of Russian strategy in the past. I think you're right that, far be it from me to analyze Russian paranoia, but I think you're right that there is great concern that the people of Ukraine, having chosen a path which is not really about an alliance with Europe, it's about a European way of life. It's about having institutions that respect people's human rights. It's about having rule of law. It's about an end to corruption. That the example of a Ukraine that was free, democratic, prosperous would provide such a grave counterexample to what the Kremlin tells its own people they can have, that is a real threat. And I think that is part of the motivation, is Putin's fear that the positive example of Ukraine might show the people of Russia what they're missing out on.
Just going back to what you were saying earlier, Ambassador, at the outset about how the ruble has fallen, how the sanctions, in your view, are having an effect, how this is going to damage growth. There's suggestions, in fact, that the economy may be even in recession there already. But do you think that's enough? Do you think that kind of those factors that would amount to self-interest will persuade Putin to pull back?
I can't analyze his psychology, but I can say that, we have been very clear all along that there are off-ramps. Putin has had choices. He's had opportunities to take an off-ramp to de-escalate. He continues to have the opportunity to de-escalate the situation, to pull Russian forces back into Russia, to cease the support in the form of weapons and men flowing across the border into eastern Ukraine for the separatists. So these choices remain, and we have said all along that when he fails to make choices to de-escalate, we will continue to increase the costs. We know that those costs are having a devastating effect on the Russian economy, and we can increase those costs further.
What, though, about the suggestion as well that the Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko has been under pressure, notably last weekend when Chancellor Merkel was in Kiev, also to compromise, that there's that reluctance on the part, for instance, of Germany in particular, to inflict too much damage on its own economic interests, and that really what they would like to see is some sort of working arrangement or compromise, as I say, put forward by Poroshenko in dealing with eastern Ukraine.
Well, President Poroshenko has put out a peace plan several months ago now, which had wide support from the international community, wide support within Ukraine, and which really laid out a series of steps that could bring peace and would, again, offer Russia the opportunity to de-escalate. You know, we've been working very closely. President Obama and Chancellor Merkel have talked numerous times, including just yesterday. We've been working very closely with European partners to offer support for finding a peaceful solution to the destruction and violence that Russia has wrought in eastern Ukraine. We will continue to work closely with our European partners on that and to find a way forward that supports a peaceful, democratic and prosperous Ukraine.
And what do you think we should expect to emerge then next week from that NATO summit in Wales?
I think I'll leave that to my colleague, the U.S. ambassador to NATO, and to those who are traveling with the president next week. But certainly I think what we'll see is a continuation of the strong partnership between the United States, Canada and our European partners in seeking to reinforce a rules-based international order. And, I think one of the things, as we take a step back, you talked about the costs to all of us of Putin's aggression. It's true. There are costs to all of us. It is a threat to all of us, the way that Russia has isolated itself in the international system is by disregarding the rules of the international system. And sometimes when those rules are disregarded, there are costs to reinforcing them and to imposing consequences on those who break them. And I think what we've seen in the last few months is a strong partnership between the United States and Europe and international partners in our commitment to a rules-based world order that can provide for both security and prosperity in the century ahead.
Ambassador, thank you for joining us. That's Ambassador Daniel Baer there. He's U.S. representative to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, based in Vienna. We'll be talking about the Children's Hospital and where it is being sited, where it might be sited after the break.